Hey, it's John Kamal from 95.9 The Fox. Thank you for listening to the Fairfield County Live and Local podcast powered by the Sono Collection. So today's guest is PX3. PX3 is Rob Mador and Isaac Young from the band No Mind. This is their side project, and it's 100% improvisational. There is nothing written. There's no, I don't want to spoil it too much, but these guys make everything up as they play it, and the way they do it is absolutely fascinating. That's all I'll say for now, because they explain it way better than I do. But thank you again for listening to the Live and Local podcast. It's John Kamal, 95.9 The Fox.
Yeah, they're doing two nights at Arch Street.
Are they?
Mm-hmm.
Right on. All right, well, it's Fairfield County Live and Local. I'm hanging out with I was going to say No Mind, because we were just talking about No Mind. All right, hold on. So this is, I'm glad I get to ask this question right at the beginning. So I've been going back and forth between calling it PX3 and P times 3, because it's the parentheses that are messing me up.
Yeah.
So correct me, please.
It's PX3.
PX3, okay,
although
cool.
None of the social media areas will allow us to use parentheses.
So yeah, I've been seeing it sometimes without the parentheses, which was like, okay, so it's probably PX3. But then the parentheses, I was like, well, wait, order of operations, right? So it's P and then times 3.
But it also is that too. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Math,
what's
dude.
What's your band name, Isaac?
Oh, man. are we supposed to tell the story about our band name now?
Now you do.
This is how it goes. So it's the stupidest story. It hilarious, and maybe they will too. We played a show last fall at Arch Street Tavern that was a Ween and Fish tribute night, right?
Okay.
And it was with guys from West End Blend and the Booyah Band out on Arch Street.
Right on.
And so the following day, we get a message to the group chat from the trumpet player, Mike Bufundo.
Yeah, it was like a screenshot of a conversation he had with some random guy. Where was he from? Ohio?
Or Illinois.
Chicago?
Some guy named Pete from Illinois, right? And he had asked, hey, can I come bring my horn and sit in? And of course, we're like, of course. Right?
Sweet.
Come hang out, right?
Yeah.
So he sends another message. He goes, hey, I'm in town. Let me know what time to come to the club. When's loading? All that fun stuff. And this, mind you, was the day after the gig.
Oh.
And he's like, well, I just drove all the way from Chicago to go play this thing. So what's there to do around here? And he's like,
he drove from Chicago just to play?
Just to sit in. Not even like as a hired gig. Just
like
to sit in.
Like a hardcore ween.
He wasn't making any money.
Nope.
He got the day of the show wrong.
Yep.
He drove from Illinois.
Yeah. So he drove from Illinois to Hartford. And so then he asks, what's there to do around here? Is there any place to go hiking? Is there good food? Are there any pump parlors? And Mike comes by like, pump parlors, man. And we're all like, yeah, man, those illicit.
Oh, is that what I think it is?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, illicit massage parlors, right? So
pump parlor.
So we started calling him Pump Parlor Pete. And
we around this time, we just had the idea to do a duo. And because, a lot of people just have told us, you two should just start your own project.
Right.
And we were, kind of spitballing, it's not going to, just going to be a run of shows, basically. And, we're just jokingly, oh, that's a perfect name for this band,
right?
Parlor Pete. We just call it PX3.
That should be the name of your first album, is Pump Parlor Pete. keep calling. Dude, that's a great, that's probably the best band name story that I've ever heard. That's my favorite, at least so far. That's amazing.
It's just funny that it stuck.
Yeah.
Well,
how could it not?
That's true. It kind of sets the tone for the beautiful irreverence we have while everything else is taken really seriously.
Right, right. You know? it's very sticky. But No Mind is doing really well. Everybody that I talk to loves you guys. And I say you guys, and of course there's two other guys in the band, but you know what I mean?
Three.
It's all good. So talk a little bit more about the decision to kind of do your own thing. You guys obviously have natural chemistry as musicians. What was the thought? Just kind of walk me through that process, because you've already got a successful project going on. Yeah.
Right.
Isaac.
Immediately throws it to Rob.
Yeah. You know, it's just, I joined No Mind pretty much almost a year ago, if not a little over a year ago. And, you know, I had my own project with one of my best friends.
Sorry if you don't.
Andrew Callahan. It was Electronic Soul.
Sorry.
And we had a trio version of that band with a friend who played bass, and they each moved to opposite ends of the country, so it's hard to get together with those guys.
Sure.
But I invited Isaac to play along with us, and because it was like all improvised and whatnot, and he could just sit right in and totally natural. And then around that time span, they started asking me like if I had any interest in joining No Mind. And I was like, well, my friends are moving very far away, so I need a project. So I'm in No Mind. And we just, you know, after playing a bunch of shows together and whatnot, it was just like,
it's kind of obvious. Like a lot of the times at rehearsals, you know, because we'll be set, there's already a kit there. And then I set up pretty quickly, surprisingly.
For a keyboard player, that's rare, but good for you.
Yeah.
Well done.
And we just, you know, we just make music. We just play, and we just, and it usually just ends in laughter.
Okay.
it's like, hey, that was pretty cool.
So, and sorry, did you guys know each other before you joined No Mind, or
not? We knew of each other.
Yeah. I was a fan of Isaac's when he played with Phonosynthesis, which was his band.
For a long time.
Yeah, and, you know, I never met him before that. I was just a fan. And No Mind's guitarist, Cody Urban, he had some party picnic type thing, and he had a stage set up, and he told me, oh, we got our new keyboard player coming out. You know, I can't wait for him to use my Leslie. And I remember him and, like, a few other people just, like, bringing this Leslie speaker from the house,
lugging it down the lawn. This big.
How
Leslie.
Many people did that take?
I didn't
took like
see,
three people. I helped.
You right.
I'm small, man. I get out of lifting heavy things.
But yeah, and then it just kind of happened. I brought my drum kit, and Max from No Mind was playing bass, and you were sitting on the organ, and I never even spoke to him before. The first time I ever met him was on that stage.
Right.
We were just playing.
So you played music together before actually speaking to
each
other.
And then we introduced each other, and we're like, hey, what's up? It's finally nice to meet you.
That's been, I've had that experience before. That's a pretty cool thing when you're just like completely like, I don't know your name or anything about you. Like what's happening though.
Yeah.
Like that's awesome. That's a cool feeling. All right. So you guys have only known each other for about a year and a half then.
Yeah. Give or take. Yeah.
Something like that. So how long was it before you guys decided, hey, let's see.
It was what in the fall, right? Like before Thanksgiving, I think, was when we like had that decision of, hey, let's just do a couple shows and use it as like a creative outlet.
Might have been around more September, but
right, because we played
so, like towards the end of summer we were like kind of spitballing the idea of doing something together,
through like three shows together in the area.
Cool.
That were, you know, venues that, you know, we both frequent with enough, you know, variety of bands that it was great to just like have them, you know, be on board with bringing on this next project. And then people showed up. We both looked at each other like, wait, what? Because, yeah, you know, I don't know, I go in with humility with anything I do. It blows my mind that people dig what I play.
Yeah, man.
And especially with this, because it is such a leap of faith type of ensemble where we don't go in with a plan. It's completely improvised. That we looked at each other like, well, people dig it. Let's keep playing.
Okay, so that was kind of my question. It was my question while you were describing the project. It was my question while I was listening to the do we call that an album, an EP? We're calling that?
Well, Metaphysic. Yeah. That's a live album.
Live album.
Yeah, that's
all right.
A live record.
So how much of that is improvised and how much of that is
98% of it, except for one song.
One of your original compositions.
Yeah, The Road to Smyrna, which usually just gets labeled Smyrna on most set lists, but The Road to Smyrna is the only actually through composed piece of music on that. The rest of it was off the cuff.
So all right. So just to get the timeline right. So Rob, you join No Mind, you guys start hanging out, start jamming. fall, September, late summer, fall kind of comes around. You guys have this idea. How long is it before that first show that you were talking about where you're surprised people show up to the
like
idea?
3 weeks.
to you guys recording that first thing?
Oh, no, no.
Sorry, that's where I was going.
That was
my bad.
A couple months. So
my bad.
Yeah, that's more like 3 months.
Yeah, because that was in December. And we didn't even know that show was recorded. That's what makes it so beautiful is that was a gift. So this...
So that just came out of the board?
It didn't come out of the board. I was down in Florida with my in-laws, and I get a message from this stranger. I want to say his name is Peter Moore, and no relation to Pump Parlor Pete, I promise you.
Okay. but that's...
I know, it's cosmic,
that's
man.
Trippy, man.
It's super cosmic,
that's
right?
That's kind of nuts.
he messaged me saying that, oh yeah, man, your show is being torrented on some random site. I'm like, wait, what? I was like, what do you mean? I was like, did it get recorded? He goes, yeah, man, I recorded it. And he sent me a Google Drive of it. So
wow.
I sent it off to my good friend and great engineer, Nate Falkenberry. And, you know, it's raw recording.
Yeah.
We want that, because it captured that essence. And he threw a very, you know, simple mix and master on it so we could just at least get it up and out to the world.
It sounds great, dude. That's crazy to me.
Yeah.
So, all right. So entirely improv, and that's something that always, like, every musician wants to do that, you know what I mean? Every musician wants to get up and be like, no, you know what, let's just wing it, let's just go for it. It's, I'd say 99% of the time sounds awful, like really terrible.
No,
like,
you're totally right.
Like, and not, like, and I'm not, you know, and you guys don't go in there with a chord progression, you just go in there.
Yeah.
Even the bands that have the chord progression figured out before are still like 98% awful at that point. So, I mean, there's only two of you.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously you're taking care of, you know, bass and treble at the same time.
Yep.
So I can see how that could make it in, you know, a little bit more of an ideal scenario. But talk me through that, because most of your Phonosynthesis was your last band, right? And No Mind's your current one now. You guys write in that band, you know what I mean? You guys have compositions and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Walk me through the difference between. Explain to me how you improvise well to that point.
Oh, man. I think about this a lot because I teach improvisation.
Sure.
I always equate it to talking a very specific dialect with somebody where, like, let's say you're placed in, like, let's use English vernacular, right? Let's say you're placed in England, right? They have their own set of slang, their own set of, like, colloquialisms that you can understand in context, but you're both not speaking the same language. So trying to improvise with someone like that is, like, there's going to be moments of true understanding each other. And then there's going to be moments where there's like a little bit of miscommunication, and that's when you don't have those pure, true moments of collective composition, right?
So that'd be like an American and a Brit talking to each other.
Yeah.
And then someone says trousers, and you're like, time out. What is that again?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or like bangers and mash, man, right?
Right. But sorry, continue on, because this is fascinating to me.
And then, like, Rob and I have this weird, you know, ability to just kind of read each other's mind, but it's also because we grew up listening to a lot of the same music. Like, our record collections are eerily similar, or he'll turn me on to someone to listen to, and like vice versa, and as a result we get into each other's language, right? So when you're dealing with improvisation, the thing is that it's about surrendering. It's not about going in with the desire for perfection. And the thing is that, like, when you're taught improvisation, you're taught, like, here's modality, here's rhythmic theory, here is the essence of theme variation or song form, right? Like, you can sit there, because, like, I studied jazz, but at the same time, there's walls, right? There's only so much you can do within reason on, like, a 2-5-1 progression before you actually start expanding the rules of harmony, which you're still in the constraints of a 2-5-1, but you're expanding it. And the thing is that what we try to do is we say, we understand that, and we build off of that, but there is no wall. And, like, we just allow it to happen. And there's, like, the principle in, if you ever listen to, like, improv actors, Operate Citizens Brigade, they always talk about, say yes. Right?
Yes and.
Yes and.
Yes
and.
Yeah,
yes
the,
and.
Yeah,
and that's,
right,
like,
exactly.
That's my principle. Like, every single time I step on stage with Rob, like, he'll throw a curveball that's really cool. And it's, like, it may not necessarily be anything that I've ever expected. It was, like, yes and, let's do it. Like,
right.
Let's go. right? And vice versa. Like, I definitely sometimes I'm like, all right, we're here. What if we go here? And you know, obviously, it's a risk. And that's the thing is, like, we're jumping out of that plane, man, with no parachute.
Yeah, dude.
And there's some times where, like, I will readily admit, it didn't work out as well. Like,
well, that was good. That was gonna be my other like, it can't as great as it is, and as cool as it, and as worth it, because it sounds like, just from hearing you guys describe it, it's so worth it. But you gotta bomb every once in a while.
Oh yeah.
Like when we recorded our soon to be released album Left Hand, there was just some moments when we were in there, like, you know, what would you say, like 85% of it was really
good. But there was a couple ones where we like just ended it and just we looked at each other, we just laughed, like, yep, well, no one's gonna hear that one ever. Like, I remember we just both looked at each other, I think it was like even the second take, and we looked at each other like, what the hell was that?
Yeah.
Like, where did that go, man? Like, but that's the thing, like, it's fine.
Sure.
It's like the principle of a mandala, man. Like, it's, you know, we spend all this time. So a mandala, right, is like these little granules of sand that these monks typically do. It takes weeks, if not months, to create. It's in a public area, right? And they meticulous, little individual color grains of sand. And then once they're done, they take a broom and they wipe it away. It's gone. There's no permanence to it. Wow. So you spend all this time creating, and then poof, it's gone, right?
Wow.
And that's what the principle of this band is, at least for me. Like, I can't speak for you, but like the semi-permanence of it is one of the most beautiful and one of the most scary things about music, is because
you'll, like, you'll never play it that way.
Right.
Again.
Yeah. And this thing is, like, when we cut records, we're not trying to replicate it again. Mm-hmm. That you as an audience get to be vulnerable with us. You get to hear what we are thinking through. There's no filter, right? Yeah. Like, so this next record that's coming out, it was done in one take. There was no like, oh, let's do it again. No, that's it. Like, these are snapshots. These are like Polaroids of 8:55 at night, like on that day. Like, that's it.
So I'm so fascinated by the recording process now, because I didn't realize that you didn't know that first EP or live album. I didn't realize that you didn't know that live album was being recorded.
I
thought that you had just gone in like, hey, let's record this show.
No, you know what I mean?
No. All right.
Yeah.
So
we'd love to, like, record every set.
Yeah, seriously.
Like,
if anybody out there wants to start recording sets for us, we'll pay you in hugs.
Right on. Free hugs, guys. So when you guys made the decision to go into the studio, so now you said that it was all recorded in 7 hours in one take.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about one take.
Yeah.
So what happens when you guys stop and look at each other and you're just like, well, where the heck did that go? It stays? Mm-hmm. Keeping it? Forget it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we do, like, you know, not separate takes, but we just have ideas and we just build upon those ideas for like a reasonable amount of time. We're not doing like 20-minute jazz odysseys, although I love doing that.
Yeah, sure.
But you know, we just have like, we kind of know like the amount of time we're trying.
Sorry,
to
and
fill.
By the way, I didn't think you played for 7 hours in a row. I knew that you stopped. I was just saying, like,
but
you know,
it was just like we did, like, you know, start and stop.
We almost played like two sets, essentially. Like,
yeah, we pretty much did. And then at the end of it, we listened back with Cody. Yep.
And,
you know.
We just made an executive decision of like, these are the seven that were the keepers. They're like beautiful moments in time.
That's nuts. God, I want to hear that so badly right now. Like, it's just like, how can you not, as a listener and as an audience member, just not be curious? You know what I mean? Like, that's just so... That's so cool. And it's very raw. It's just not something that you see or hear a lot of.
Yeah.
Especially like these days, like, I mean, you know, not to throw like society's woes onto it, but you know what I mean? There's a lot of social media. There's a lot of, you know, like get the right angle, get the right light, get the right picture up there. Everything's kind of planned out.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, dude, I'm in media. We plan things out.
Yeah.
It's so encouraging, I think is the right word, to hear that you guys do it like that. Oh, see, that's really cool. I thought you had at least an idea going into it.
No, never. I think what is our demise is having an idea.
Well, yeah, now at this point, yeah, you
it's
can't.
Just, yeah, I mean, I might be working through an idea live that I had maybe thought of earlier, but it's not like I go in with a premonition saying, all right, tonight we're going to play a song, right? It's not a conventional set list. We just read the room. So if people are really getting off on like some really like disco acid house stuff, then we're gonna play some disco acid house. Yeah, if the audience wants some more like jazz influence thing, we're gonna go that path. If they're really into the psych rock thing, we'll go in that path.
So here's an interesting question: how do you read the room before you start playing, or do you start playing and see what's getting people interested?
Start playing and see, like, you know, I'll just look out at the crowd a little bit and see if people are responding to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, like, you know, or at least if they're paying attention. Like, if no one's paying attention, then you kind of gotta do something different. But, you know, it's like you can. Yeah, when people are dancing, that's positive. But sometimes when people see us, they just like stand there and stare.
Yeah, we've had a handful of the little bit of drool puddle.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool. I mean, it's wild, man. I don't know, because I definitely have been that person in the audience for many shows.
Like,
I love being that person.
Yeah, I love being that person. That's like my favorite like live music experience ever. Is just being so overwhelmed that you freeze.
The deer in the headlights moment. Yeah. You gotta wait for, actually, you mentioned West End Blend. The last serious time that I can remember having that was my first time seeing those guys.
Yeah, I love
those
guys.
Yeah. Those are good friends of ours. We love those guys.
All right. Well, Dib, please tell them hi and tell them to come onto this show because they're awesome. But that was an aside. So, man. All right. So, God, that's. I'm like reformulating all the questions I thought I was going to ask you. That's great. So what did occur to me when you were talking about, like, you know, everything being, what was that thing with the monks in the sand? What's that called?
A mandala.
Yeah. I love that. I'm going to write that down. Let's say it's a year from now. People really love PX3. Big fans of it. You've got at least one recording out. Any chance that you would go back and be like, we'll do something off of that album?
Oh, you mean like take a track from that record and replicate it live?
Because, like, and here, and correct me if I'm wrong. So you pick out the seven best moments,
mm-hmm.
and that's how you create the album, right? And then you give them names based on whatever their vibe is. And we'll talk a little bit more about name selection in a little bit, because I'm sure that's interesting all by itself. But then, like, someone comes up and they're just like, you know, oh, hey, can you guys play that? Is it just like, nah, man, this is not that kind of show?
It's not even that I would say that it's not that kind of show. To be completely transparent, I wouldn't know what they're talking about.
That's the answer I wanted.
It's just like, there's this moment when when we play where it's almost like true disembodiment, but with like the absolute and utter lucidity of like cognitive flow, where when I listen back, it's this disconnect of like, how is that me? Right? Mm. It's like there's, I don't know, like a primal self that comes through in improvisational moments.
Yeah,
like, and these are not always, but Rob manifests it in me in a way that no other musician has been able to kind of like be that skeleton key to allow those moments to come through in my playing where I am not me who's playing, but merely just like a conduit for whatever the music is.
And that's a common theme that you hear from a lot of musicians, a lot of guys who, you know, like, you hear the guitar players,
Santana,
of course, going to bring up Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Santana's
another one, though.
Yeah.
I was actually going to say Stevie Ray Vaughan, though, because he's in a way less, you know, Santana likes to go off on the big tangents about it. And really, but like, you'd see Stevie Ray Vaughan, like, just being all bashful in interviews, being like, you know, you just got to kind of just, you know, wherever it wants you to go. But they do. They talk about that conduit feeling.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, it sounds like you guys have found that with this, or at least have found another example of it. Not saying you've never accessed it before.
Yeah.
But that's wild, man. So what, I mean, now, where do you guys live? Where are you coming from? Or where are you based out of?
I'm from, like, Middletown, Connecticut area.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I'm up in West Hartford.
And you're up in West Harbor?
Mm-hmm.
Right, so you guys drove a little bit to get down here. Thank you for that.
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
Thanks for having us.
This is awesome. This is such an honor.
Well, so this is a bit of a change of pace. Rob, you're a phenomenal follow on social media. It's just because, and like, I love the Connecticut music scene. I've been playing in bands with varying degrees of success. I've been playing in bands since I was like, you know, 13 in Connecticut. You have the most incredible things to say about the Connecticut music scene, and I got to pick your brain on some of it.
Okay.
So it's all right. So Like, how much of your commentary is like is trolling, and how much of it is just purely like, no, this is making me super angry.
Dude,
and
I need to say
something.
It's all trolling.
It's all trolling.
Yeah. And it's kind of like, you know, you gotta have somebody like, from my experience, like learning music, I always had people kind of, you know, just like, not like being negative towards my playing, but like, you can be better. So I've always been like kind of like pushed to like get better, and like it's kind of like why I make the comments I do. It's just like trying to inspire people, like oh, screw this random yahoo from Hickenham, Connecticut. Like, I'm gonna prove him wrong. And like, you know, it's all like, you know, it's just trolling. And
got it.
No, I love the Connecticut music scene. It's just like, it's like, it's really popping off right now.
It is.
That's what, like, that's what, yeah, I would agree. And it's funny, I've had a few people in here already. Everyone's kind of said the same thing. Like, it really seems like it's in a good place.
Yeah. Really, especially in like the last, let's say, 5 years, it's gone from something that was there. You could see the energy. You could see it was there. Because like, I've been living out here for 14 years almost now.
Yeah.
And I started a band out here like maybe 12 years ago, and it was good, but like, you could see that there was this weird need for rebirth. And like I said, in the past 5 maybe 6 years, there's been this incredible boom to the like communal attitude. The talent in this scene is scary.
Well, it's scary.
I've been really fortunate. I've toured in 41 states. I've seen like most major music scenes and played in a lot of like the areas that are deemed like epicenters, right? Like, I played more times than I can count in Manhattan, but like, I'm talking like Nashville and down in New Orleans, right? And there's incredible talent there. But it's this disjointed sense of community where everyone's kind of fighting their own fight and not raising each other up.
Well, and also, you expect talent in New Orleans and Nashville.
Right, like, of course. It's a different vibe.
They're magnets for people to like to just go to.
But it's like the clubs are dead. That's the thing. The clubs are quiet, right? Because everyone's working. But out here, I feel like not only does everyone raise each other up, but there's also this thriving community of listeners.
Yeah. There's a great fan scene.
Like,
yeah.
Like, people are coming out
to shows.
And that's the thing.
Yes.
It's not just the incredible talent and the incredible community that we have. Like, all of our friends are like, I'm excited just watching all of our friends, like Guys and Goose, just killing it right now. Like,
yeah, they're having a run right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, our friends in Eggy, too, are doing really well. Like, it's just awesome, and it's exciting for us to watch them succeed. So we have that, and then we have like the most incredible body of fans that just come out time after time after time.
Right. Yeah. Well, and you see, I mean, the number of like, you know, and you see all these Facebook groups, New England music scene.
Yeah.
There's the Jam Fam that just like got themselves started, and then all the bands have their own little individual one time weekend. Have you guys listened to that?
Oh yeah,
you seen that?
They're
awesome,
guys.
Dude. Yeah. They're so good. I had them on my old show just a little while ago. They've got, you know, like, you know, they've got their thing. Like I was saying, Goose has theirs. There's these people get pumped, not just about people don't need to be on stage. People don't need to be, you know, the person, you know, people don't need to be the star. They're just like, I'm all about this band right now, and I want to hang out with people who are all about this band. It's a great fan community. And I think that's the X factor. Like, yes, the amount of talent in Connecticut is nuts, and the reason for that, I don't know. That, you know, something in the water.
We're all drinking that floor.
Right. but it is. People are just super. I loved how polite Rob is, and he actually used
a
coaster.
Yeah.
It is a sticker.
It's a sticker,
you know,
coaster.
But I respect the effort. Yeah. That's fantastic. Thank you for that.
I gotta keep it. It's a nice table, man.
It is. It's a nice table.
You got a lot of expensive equipment on it.
We do.
Just, like,
Whoops.
Oh, God. The amount of trouble I would get in. But yeah, I think that's a point well taken. It's the listeners that make it such a
another thing about like my social media, but like, I troll Phish all the time, and Phish are like one of my all time favorite bands.
You can tell that you're trolling Phish, though.
Yeah,
like
that's
the thing. Like, I'll read that and I'll be like, oh, he's baiting people.
It's you, but you know, I just,
people bug out.
Remember at that one festival, that guy nearly beat the crap out of me for commenting on that Phish show. Were you even there?
Oh yeah.
Wasn't that Manifest?
Yeah, that was it, man.
Oh my god. So I've seen probably closing 60 some odd times I've seen Fish. Yeah. Right. Not as much as like some of my other friends, but I've seen them enough, right?
You've been a fan for a long time.
60's solid, dude.
Like, yeah, right. Yeah. I've been a fan for a long time. I have many stories of touring around, following them and like hitchhiking and all that fun stuff. But anyway, so at this festival over the summer, Manifest, which we're gonna be playing again this summer, which is really exciting. Actually we're playing tomorrow of their pre-party thing.
Yeah, in Greenfield,
Mass. But he was asking, you know, about what I thought of their latest summer tour, and I have XM in my car, so I have that Fish radio.
Sure.
And my wife.
What is that? I've never heard of that before.
Sirius XM. I don't know. I think it's I think it's illegal in this country.
Right. Exactly.
So, but they air every show on the following day. So yeah. My wife, daughter, and I had a road trip down to South Carolina. So we listened. We kept up with all the shows, and some of them, shall we say, were rough, right? You know, let's just be honest, man. They're humans. I get it.
Yeah.
Right. Like they're idolized, but they're humans, right?
There's
I love it.
There's some rough.
And that one Fenway show that's in question was the one that they got rained out, and you know it was fine. It was, but he asked me like what I thought. I was like, honestly, you know, it was one of the weaker shows of the tour. And this dude, like, I swear to God, he was going to take a swing at me. He got so angry.
Oh yeah.
I know. I wasn't even trying to troll. Like, I don't even think I have it in me to be like that blunt of a person.
Right.
I was just like, you know, it could have been better. And he was like, "What did you say?" And he like got in my face. And you know, anyone who's met me, I'm a tiny guy. Anyone who's of average height is larger than me. So I was just like, you know, I'm sorry. Sorry, they're the greatest band in the world, man. They're awesome.
That's messed up.
Yeah, it's totally weird, right?
See, so that's
why I love watching Rob troll all the Fish fans.
Well, you got to expose people who get too, because that's such a toxic, stupid thing to get upset about.
Yeah, it really is.
Like,
I wouldn't have played in a Fish tribute band that was like really successful in Connecticut for like 2 years. I spent like all my time like learning their songs, like. I'm going to be a little flustered.
Like, yeah, dude, I did that because I secretly hate Fish. I went deep. I went deep cover.
It's like Mark Wahlberg's character and the other guys who, like, learned ballet.
I'm a peacock. Kind of let me fly. Yeah. I love that. So when's this album coming out?
We're aiming for March. Probably March 20th. We just need to get everything signed off.
Oh, nice. Really?
But yeah, soon. Because it's ready. And we're excited.
Yeah?
I'm excited for people to hear it.
Me too, yeah.
That's killer.
Yeah.
What'd you guys have to do with the artwork?
That's a really cool
good story. Sorry. Yeah. So I injured my left hand.
Okay.
Thus the name of the album, Left Hand. And so I had to get x-rays.
Are you left-handed?
No, thank God.
Okay.
But not everything, but a vast majority of our music is driven by my left hand because my left hand plays
the bass,
most of the bass lines. And especially this collection of seven songs were very left hand oriented. Oddly enough, it must be a glutton for punishment.
Mm-hmm.
So I had x-rays done of my hand and I got the images. So the artwork is the x-ray of my left hand.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Is your left hand okay?
It's all right. I'm going to physical therapy. I sprained a ligament, so it's not as bad. Thank God.
At least we figured it out.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, it's not broken. Yeah. There's no irreparable damage, but it's humbling and it's pain. But you know, physical therapy, man, just treating it right.
Sorry, dude.
Yeah, c'est la vie, right?
I'm still playing music.
I'm still playing music. They said I can still play.
He keeps punishing himself.
Does your I was gonna say, is your PT cool with you still playing shows?
Yeah, no, he totally was. Like I talked to him about, I was like, look, you know, I can't stop playing. I was like, yeah, man, just listen to your body. If it hurts, stop playing. I was like, all right, cool. Like, and I do that anyways. Like, I'm not gonna, my body's knows what to tell me. That's in pain that I stopped.
Does
playing.
It know what to tell you when you're like right in the middle of a show and you might
probably
have had like
not.
A drink or two?
I don't drink before shows.
Oh, you don't?
So no.
Me neither.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, good for you guys.
Yeah.
That's
I used to drink before every show.
Yeah, same here.
I was gonna say back,
that's probably why your bands went somewhere and mine did not. I drank before every show.
No, I mean I used to too. Who hasn't had their, you know, raucous 20s of playing and going on the tour? But yeah, no, we don't drink before shows. I
talking about like 2-3 drinks. I don't get like, you know, hammered before
a
show.
Yeah.
That's
and like once in a while when we eat dinner we might have a cocktail or something.
But on stage I'll have seltzer.
Oh, well, yeah, good.
That's about it. New Year's,
it's like, yeah, don't pay me in beer, pay me in money.
Yep.
Right.
Or food.
Yeah, I like food. I love food.
It's great.
Food's a solid alternative. Yeah. Well, nice. Well, what's next? When's the next time you guys are playing?
So we're playing tomorrow. In Greenfield, Mass. Then next Friday, that's the 28th at La Boca with the iteration of the two of us plus a bassist and a guest guitarist called Armad.
Sweet.
Which is another improv collective. So that show is cool. We did that at Art Street and that went over really well, where we do the first set is PX3. Then the first half of the second set is Armad with the trio, and then this last half with the guitarist.
Yeah, Art Street. So we like actually had Adam Eaton from One Time Weekend.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then the one next week, we got Will Early
from Hot Club of Black.
Yes. Rock. Oh, no. Yeah. Will I know pretty well. He's the man.
He's one of the first people I ever met when I moved down here.
Yeah. Nice dude with freaking smoking play.
Oh, yeah. He's played with us a few times.
Yeah.
And
first time I saw him,
fun.
Like, I knew him from School of Rock because I used to play with World of Souls.
Yeah.
And we used to rehearse there.
That's right. Dude, I forgot you played with World of Souls. Yeah. That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right.
I love those guys.
Yeah.
But I knew Will from, he's still a teacher, I think, at School of Rock.
Yep.
I never actually seen him play until we played with him at Bryak that one time, and I was just like,
dude. What?
Yeah, he's an animal.
Yeah.
He's an animal.
Yeah, and then he told me he never studied jazz, and just like, you're
just knows
full
it.
Of it.
he just knows it, man. It's ridiculous. But yeah, after that, we're bouncing around a bit. We have a couple irons in the fire, and we have a couple things in the work that we can't announce quite yet, but
when
they do come to fruition, we're really excited about what's coming in like summer and fall.
All right, great.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, listen, I'm really looking forward to hearing this thing. Thank you guys for coming in.
Oh, thank you, man.
Thanks for having us, man.
Yeah, dude. All right. It's Fairfield County Live and Local. PX3, make sure you check them out. You guys got websites, social media you want to shout out real quick?
Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, just letter P, letter X, and letter 3. You can find us.
All right. Right on. Thanks for coming in, guys.
All right, thank you.